Thanks for joining us today, Dr. Olivia O'Donoghue, the Australian Indigenous Doctors Association Acting President. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kaylee, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Can you please explain what the Australian Indigenous Doctors Association does?
So AIDA, or the Australian Indigenous Doctors Association, is a organisation that is a member-based organisation that represents Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander doctors and medical students right across the career trajectory of life in medicine and as part of the medical workforce. So we really strive towards training and workforce equity for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander doctors. We also do a lot of advocacy to health organisations, government, and other peak organisations to improve health outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, embedding equity and cultural safety across the health system, which will benefit health outcomes for all peoples.
Now, in the last week, there's been some press around the fact that St. Vincent's Hospital in Melbourne, based in Fitzroy, will be prioritising triage for all First Nations patients presenting to the ED or emergency department. I do understand you do support St. Vincent's Hospital's Melbourne Chief Executive Nicole Tweedle's statement. What are your thoughts on this, please, Olivia?
Yeah, so the triage policy at St. Vincent's does have a minimum triage category of triage three for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander patients. So this is about fairness and not favouritism, and it's not necessarily prioritising Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander patients above and beyond anyone else, and particularly not those who are presenting with more important or life-threatening conditions that need to be managed and triaged much higher at a category two or a one. So it's really about reducing the barrier to accessing healthcare in the emergency department. This is an evidence-based approach, and it's based on evidence garnered by St. Vincent's Hospital to say that their patients were waiting three times longer if they identified as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander to be seen than the rest of the population. So this policy has already shown that by taking into account the complex psychosocial and often multiple health conditions that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander patients present with, and triaging them as a minimum of a category three based on their health needs, means that they are not waiting as long to be seen in the emergency department. This has improved outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander patients and their wait times, but it hasn't had any impact whatsoever on the wait times of everybody else. So it's improved access for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, hasn't had any negative impact on anyone who doesn't identify as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. Reducing the barriers for accessing healthcare and making sure that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander patients can be seen efficiently and effectively and their health needs are met.
And you just mentioned they're reducing barriers for First Nations people to access medical care. And sometimes I do know some mobbing community might feel shame to attend any medical practice if they know they're going to be waiting a long time for such services. It can put people off going to get the right treatment.
Exactly. Often there are barriers to even presenting to the emergency departments in the first place for fear of being judged or treated unfairly or feeling culturally unsafe while you're there, either through the system or even through, interactions with staff or other patients in the waiting areas as well. So, and often Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander patients would have left the hospital before being seen as well.
And I'm wondering, can you share with us some thoughts or some feedback that you've had from some of the other doctors who are attached to your association, the Australian Indigenous Doctors Association? What's some of the feedback that you've heard on this new policy at St. Vincent's Hospital, Melbourne?
I guess we, as an organisation, we firmly advocate for equity across health systems and embedding cultural safety and those principles that improve access to healthcare for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander patients. And this policy does that. One of our members and recently outgoing board member, Dr. Glenn Harrison, who also happens to be a fellow of the Australian College of Emergency Medicine, firmly supports this policy and contributed to our joint statement with the Australian College of Emergency Medicine and the Royal Australian College of Physicians, saying that this is very much a policy that was needed for St. Vincent's Hospital and for the Victoria region, and that he steadfastly stands behind this policy as well.
How do you think that this newly introduced policy at St. Vincent's Hospital in Melbourne for First Nations mob, how do you think this will increase people's overall well-being in the medical system?
So it's particularly in this context, it was needed. It's driven by the evidence that has been collected by St. Vincent's Hospital, and it's needed to improve access for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in this region. What that means is that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people can feel more comfortable and confident when they attend the emergency department of this hospital. They know they're going to be taken seriously. They know that their health needs are going to be met. And they will be seen in a timely fashion as well. One of the things that we know is that right across the country is that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are often triaged in lower categories. And triaging is a very, it's quite a complex protocol-driven process in the hospitals, and sometimes can miss the holistic nature of the person and their lived experience and maybe what else is going on in their life as well. So this policy allows for that to be taken into context. So someone's social determinants of health, maybe their living situation, their numeracy literacy, particularly their health literacy, and also their I guess their psychosocial situation as well, and including their potential to have multiple health conditions that might impact on whatever they might be presenting with to the hospital. So this allows for all of those things to be taken into consideration, or at least not missed, because we know that adverse outcomes happen when a particular illness or medication or comorbidity might have not been taken into account as part of the triage process. So this is acknowledging that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people generally have complex health needs that might not be seen on the surface at the beginning of the triage process, but might come to light later. So it means that they're not falling through the gaps and they're not missed.